Good morning. You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, and it's just a couple of minutes before 11 o'clock. Please support the station during our fall membership drive by calling 877-500-5266 and becoming a member today. Coming up on The Boo at 11:30, On the Ground Radio has an extended conversation on resisting fascism with professor and author Richard Wolff, co-founder of Democracy at Work. And now, stay tuned for Health Watch, a discussion with Dr. Andrew Weil, author of Mind Over Meds, Know When Drugs Are Necessary, When Alternatives Are Better, and When to Let Your Body Heal on Its Own. This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the Oregon Symphony, presenting a special concert, Angelique Kidjo, with the Oregon Symphony. More info and tickets for this event with Angelique Kidjo at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall on Tuesday, September 26th, available now at orsymphony.org.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, serving breakfast all day, every day, and lunch on weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch was provided by Hot Lips Pizza, family-owned gourmet pizza and fruit sodas with many locations in the Portland area. Go to hotlipspizza.com. And dinner was provided by Horse Brass Pub, located 4534 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland, a traditional English-style pub open from 11 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. daily. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Vibe's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday, Friday, September 22nd. At Vibe in Portland. Vibe's grand opening weekend and 10th birthday will unveil Vibe of Portland's new studio along with a celebration of a decade of empowering kids through art. Again, that's Vibe's grand opening weekend and 10th birthday, Friday, September 22nd at 7 p.m. at Vibe of Portland's new studio at 5633 Southeast Division Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, I'm Bob McChesney. I spend a lot of time working to reform our media system to get policies to give us really great community media and public media. But right here in Portland, you've got one of the great stations, KBOO Radio. I'm delighted to be here. You should be glad to be listening to it. It's your lifeline to the future.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Today's guest is the world-renowned pioneer in the field of integrative medicine, Dr. Andrew Weil. A Harvard-trained medical doctor, Weil is professor of public health, clinical professor of medicine, and the Lovell Jones Professor of Integrative Rheumatology at the University of Arizona, as well as the director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Andrew Weil was named one of the 25 most influential Americans in 1997 and one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2005 by Time Magazine. And he's the author of numerous bestsellers, including Eating Well for Optimum Health, Spontaneous Healing, and The Healthy Kitchen. He also writes the popular Self-Healing column for Prevention Magazine. Dr. Andrew Weil is here today on Health Watch to talk about his latest book, Mind Over Meds, know when drugs are necessary, when alternatives are better, and when to let your body heal on its own. Welcome to Health Watch, Dr. Andrew Weil.
Thank you.
So you open the book, Mind Over Meds, stating that more people are taking more medications than ever before, that in fact, we take 10 times as many prescription medications as the 1950s. And in your mind, you say this is a great cause for concern and a red flag for you. And I was hoping you could tell our listeners why that's a problem.
First of all, many of these drugs are not necessary. A lot of them do more harm than good. They're expensive. There are non-drug methods for treating many common health conditions that can be tried first before you resort to medications. I think most people are unaware of the toxicity and adverse reactions that are possible when taking medications. And also, a lot of the medications that are used long-term actually intensify or prolong the conditions they're meant to treat.
So when you're talking about training doctors, you pose the question, how did we come to believe that medications are the only and most effective way to treat disease? And I think a lot of people would be surprised because of their experience with doctors that there are other ways to treat disease than medications. Can you just broaden that lens for us?
Such things as dietary adjustment, physical activity, stress management, relaxation training, as well as all of the other therapies that are out there that are not taught in conventional schools of medicine, such as botanical remedies, manual medicine, such as chiropractic and osteopathic manipulation, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and the whole realm of mind-body therapies, which covers everything from hypnosis to biofeedback and so forth.
Well, you make a list of what you consider the most overprescribed or misused drugs, and those include antibiotics, statins, antihistamines, sleep aids, a lot of things that probably some of our listeners are taking or have taken at one point or another. But the one that you say, the class of medications that you say you're most concerned about are the medications for acid reflux or heartburn. And so I was hoping we could start there as an example of like why this is a class of medications that the toxicity isn't being talked about and the downsides aren't being talked about. So why are you particularly concerned about this?
When I was growing up, and this is 1940s, 1950s, gastroesophageal reflux did not exist. People had heartburn, and they treated it with Tums, which is a very safe antacid. And I think many people understood that heartburn was your stomach's way of telling you that you had mistreated it. Either you ate too much of the wrong foods, wrong combinations of foods, and so forth. Now we've totally medicalized this condition, and we see the root problem as too much acid production in the stomach. And we've developed these very powerful drugs that shut off acid production in the stomach. Now, I think for very short-term use, that may be okay, and there are some rare conditions for which those drugs may need to be used. But it is not a good idea to block acid production in the stomach long-term. First of all, that's your main defense against infection coming in by the oral route. Secondly, acid is needed for digestion and absorption of key nutrients. Also, when you put people on this and suppress acid production, the body's going to try to produce more of it. So it becomes impossible to lower the dose or get off it. So when people are put on these drugs for more than a few weeks, they become dependent on them, and it is a very tough dependence to break. And there's an increasing body of evidence that long-term use of these is associated with serious problems, including increased risk of dementia and increased risk of all-cause mortality. So I think it's a good idea not to get on them in the first place. And if people have been on them long-term, you really need to do some careful work and planning in order to discontinue their use. And I'm very alarmed by the fact that how widely these are given out. They're over-the-counter forms that are people take like candy. Most doctors never warn patients about the dangers of dependence or the adverse reactions. And I know many people who come in with symptoms of heartburn, and the drugs are prescribed without even a dietary history being taken.
Are you still there, Dr. Weil?
I'm here.
Okay, great. And one of the things that's obvious by this sort of prescription is you're not really looking for the cause, and often the cause for something like heartburn is potentially multifactorial. So what would be some of the things that you in Mind Over Meds talk about in terms of possible interventions that wouldn't be pharmaceutical?
Well, first is dietary adjustment, and that means looking at whether use of alcohol, coffee, other forms of caffeine, maybe irritants of the stomach, how much people are eating, what kinds of foods. Stress is a major contributor to dysfunction in the GI tract, so some sort of relaxation training, I think, is crucial. There are some safe natural remedies, things, mild ones like chamomile tea, a licorice extract called DGL that you can get at natural food stores that increases the mucus coating in the lining of the stomach. There's really a range of possibilities of things to try. And before you resort to these drugs, and if you are on them and trying to get off them, I've given a list of things that you can use to help yourself in the process of slowly weaning off the medication.
Well, let's move on to another category. So we're not going to be able to obviously cover many of the categories you have in Mind Over Meds, but another one is statin medications. And right now, about one out of four people, adults in the United States, are on statins. And there are even people who say we should put statins in the water supply. So,
it's a bad idea.
And of course,
they're very effective at one thing, which is lowering what we call bad cholesterol, LDL cholesterol. They're very good at that, but that's only one factor that contributes to coronary artery disease. We'd also like to be able to raise HDL cholesterol. We don't have any medications for that, to change the particle size of LDL cholesterol, to decrease inflammation in the body. It's also, I think, a very sobering thought that most people never consider. Half of people who have first heart attacks have normal serum cholesterol. So cholesterol is not the only culprit, and I worry that when doctors put patients on a statin, they think they've discharged their responsibility there. They don't have to talk about diet or exercise or stress management. You know, it's taken care of. There are clear indications for using statins. I think they are effective at this one thing that they do, but I think they're much too widely prescribed and taken, and again, they're not without risk. I think the risks are not as serious as with some of the other categories of drugs that I discussed, but there are risks of muscle dysfunction, liver dysfunction, and so forth.
And possible cognitive impairment similar to the acid reflux medications.
Exactly,
too.
Yes.
Well, one of the areas that I think some people might be surprised about, just because of how commonplace they are, that is sleep medications. Sleep medications have their own set of risks. Some of them seem like they could be they're correlations, not necessarily proven causes, but there are some correlative things with sleep medications that are quite disturbing. Talk to us about why we should be more judicious when we enter that category of medications.
Okay, first of all, I'm talking about both over-the-counter and prescribed medications for sleep. I think they both present similar problems. None of these medications reproduce natural sleep. They distort what we call sleep architecture. For example, they all suppress dreaming, and dreaming is an essential component of good restorative sleep. Many of them are dependence-producing and create very serious kinds of dependence and addiction. A lot of them, when they're used more than very short-term, cause cognitive impairment. One of the most common over-the-counter sleep aids is Benadryl, an antihistamine, which makes you drowsy, and use of that over time is associated with an increased risk of dementia. So I think it is appropriate to use a sleep aid for very short-term management of situational insomnia. If you're traveling, crossing time zones, if there's a death in the family, some other kind of emotional upset, you know, using them for a few days is okay, but it is not a good idea to rely on these long-term to get the sleep. And the quantity of these medications that are taking, the numbers of people using them, is very alarming. There's a whole field called sleep hygiene, which covers everything from whether you have aches and pains, whether you can't turn your mind off, whether your mattress is comfortable, the noise in the environment, the amount of light in the bedroom, use of caffeine, and so forth. All of these things should be examined to see whether you can promote natural restorative sleep before resorting to one of these medications. If you have to take something, the two safe natural products that I recommend are an herb, valerian, which has been used for centuries. It's quite safe, works well for most people. And the other is melatonin, another natural product produced in the brain that regulates our day-night cycles. And both of these, I think, are okay to use. But again, I wouldn't use them regularly.
Well, it's interesting. I know these again, are correlative studies, but there are large studies that show increased all-cause mortality for people who are on sleep medications long-term.
Definitely.
As well,
Definitely.
Which is pretty
yep.
disturbing, as well as an increased possible increased risk of depression.
Yes.
Well, another thing in Mind Over Meds that I thought was very useful and something you don't see in a lot of books is how to address situation with older patients, particularly ones who are on a very large number of medications. It's a challenging thing for physicians, and I think some of these patients get dismissed quickly because it's a really hard thing to puzzle out from the physician standpoint. What are primary symptoms and what are symptoms caused by other medications? How do you go about addressing medication management with people who are on five or more medications?
Well, let me say that when I look in the medicine cabinets of older people, it's not uncommon to find 12 different medications there, often prescribed by different practitioners who probably haven't communicated with each other. And no one may be overseeing all of this medication, particularly for possible interactions of medications with each other that can be very bad for the patient. And many of these are duplicative or not necessary. I think the best strategy is to consult a pharmacist for something called a medication therapy management review. This is a service that pharmacists are trained to provide. Actually, many physicians are unaware that pharmacists can do this, as well as most patients, but I think it's very valuable. So find it, often this service is covered by Medicare or it's really nominally expensive, and it is very, very useful. The pharmacist can look over all the medications that a person is taking, say whether they're necessary, whether any are duplicative, whether there might be adverse interactions. The pharmacist can't change the medications, but he or she can contact the provider with recommendations and also advise the patient and family about the recommendations.
Well, let's move on to another category, antidepressants, which are the second most prescribed medication in the United States, and ones that are usually given without a diagnosis by a general practitioner rather than by a psychiatrist. You mentioned at the beginning of the program that some of the medications that you go over in the book actually with long-term use will prolong the symptoms that are being treated. So sort of paradoxically can make the length of a certain illness longer. Is antidepressants one of those?
Yes, and the reason for this, and it's the same thing and when we talked about the acid-blocking drugs, when you direct a force against the body, a pharmacological force, the body reacts against it. That's a process called homeostasis. So if you remove if you use the medication long term, that reaction of the body often prolongs or intensifies the illness. So in the case of the acid blocking drugs, the pressure to produce acid builds and builds, and then you can't get off the drug or lower the dosage. So something similar is seen with the most popular category of antidepressants, the SSRIs that increase serotonin at neural junctions in the brain. If you increase serotonin in the brain, what is the body going to do? It's going to make less serotonin, and also it drops serotonin receptors. So over time, say a year of continuous use, it becomes very difficult to get off that drug, and depression is often prolonged or intensified. This is called, and there's a technical term for this now, called tardive dysphoria, which means lingering bad mood, which is due to the use of the medication.
So in Mind Over Meds, what would be some of the things that you would then look at for people who are either considering going on an antidepressant or maybe want to take something in order to get off of an antidepressant?
Yeah, first of all, let me say there's a growing body of evidence that these drugs are not very effective, that often it's very hard to tell them apart from placebos, especially in mild to moderate depression, and in many cases of severe depression as well. So for that reason, as well as the adverse effects, it's worth looking at other strategies. There are many studies showing that psychotherapy, especially cognitive therapy, is as effective as medication use in depression. The best evidence we have for interventions with depression is for physical activity. You know, regular exercise is both a very effective preventive and treatment for depression. Another is the use of supplemental fish oil, source of omega-3 fatty acids. That this is a very safe, natural intervention. It is highly protective and helpful, again, both as prevention and treatment. There's a lot of other things to do. I have a previous book called Spontaneous Happiness that looks at emotional health and wellness, and there's a lot. There are a lot of recommendations there for ways that you can manage most cases of depression.
I was happy to see that you included acupuncture as one intervention too, something that a lot of people might not think of when it comes to mental, emotional well-being.
You want to find an acupuncturist who has some experience with using it for emotional problems, but yes, there is some good documentation that it's effective.
Well, so in our final minutes today, maybe we can just speak more generally to what you see as the role of Mind Over Meds as a book, who the audience is, and maybe some final thoughts on why you would encourage anybody that this book is targeting to potentially reevaluate their treatment strategies.
I wrote the book for as general an audience as possible. I hope that physicians will read it because I think many doctors are unaware of the information that's in there, both of the real risks of long-term use of these medications and the alternatives that are out there that you can recommend instead. I think this will be very useful to consumers in general. If you have family members on medication, you yourself, I think this gives you some good information so that if a doctor tells you that you should be on a medication, I think you want to ask why, and if you can't understand the explanation, I would wait and look to see if there are other ways of managing the condition. So my hope is that really all kinds of people read this, health professionals and lay people alike, and find it very useful.
Do you feel like there's any movement? I know this book is sort of filling a gap because as we go to see our primary care physicians, they're not spending the time to discuss the downsides of things they prescribe. Is there any movement, do you feel, to...
I do. You know, the other problem is that physicians are not trained in these other methods. And this is what we're trying to correct in the field of integrative medicine. You know, our curriculum includes information about nutrition and mind-body medicine and alternative medical practices and so forth. Another problem is the very great influence of the pharmaceutical companies on prescribing practices of physicians and on consumers. I think direct consumer advertising of prescription drugs has created great demand for them so that there's pressure from patients for doctors to prescribe. So I think it's a really general problem that we face, and it has to be attacked, you know, from very different directions. But I think good information and education is the most important piece.
Well, it was a pleasure having you on Health Watch today, Dr. Weil.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking today to Dr. Andrew Weil, the author of Mind Over Meds, and we're going to now invite Liz and Will into the studio to talk about how you can get one of the copies available if you're interested in getting a copy of Mind Over Meds to learn about when pharmaceuticals are a good idea and when alternatives or maybe even nothing is a better idea. So we'll invite them into the studio and you can learn how to become a member or renew your membership and get a copy of the book.
You, Dr. David, that's a great show, and Dr. Weil is a fascinating guy. I've learned from him many years ago. I remember when I was first trying to get healthy, and I've got a video from the library from him, and it's a fascinating thing. My doctor just told me I'm supposed to take 9 pills a day, 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 3 at night of this new medication, and I just don't want to do that. And if you folks out there are taking medications, this show is very, very relevant to you. And we're brought this show by KBOO Community Radio. And the way we can bring you these fascinating shows is by you dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Sometimes pharmaceuticals are not the answer, they're the problem. And we learn this from the great shows that are brought to us. Isn't that right, Liz?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was just thumbing through the table of contents for this book, Mind Over Meds, by Dr. Andrew Weil, W-E-I-L, in case you want to look him up. He's a well-respected and longtime best-selling author and doctor, and has punctured many of the medical myths that most of us suffer under. You don't have to suffer any longer, though. You can take really strong medicine by picking up your phone and
That's
calling
right.
877-500-5266 and become a member. And if you become a member at the $60 level, you can pick up a free copy of Dr. Weil's Mind Over Meds. I mean, this looks like such a fascinating book.
It could change your life.
It could change your life. It could change the life of some of your loved ones if they're on meds or if you have questions. And just to be clear, meds are not always the problem. There are times, and he mentions this in the book, where meds really are a good idea and necessary, and you should definitely check them out. But as he also mentions, there are times when we take too many meds and we throw too many pills at a situation where there are other and better alternatives with fewer side effects. Let me tell you something. Here's a side effect of becoming a member of KABU. When you become a member of KABU, there are only good side effects. Here's one. You become better informed. Here's another one. You help other people become better informed. Here's a third. You get to pick up a copy of this amazing book, Mind Over Meds, for just $60. That's $5 a month. That's an easy amount of money to budget into your life. And more importantly, the best side effect of all is that you become a contributing, supporting member of your community radio station. There is no downside here, people. None. Pick up that phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm and become a member that way. If you're just tuning in and you think to yourself, oh, I wish I could have caught that interview and I missed it, all of the programs on KABU are now available to be listened to at your convenience on free podcasts that you can access on iTunes or Google Play. That's just one of the many new services that we are constantly striving to bring you here at KABU. You can also listen to audio of the show online at Dr. David Naiman's site. David, what's the name of your site, or what's the link to your site?
Well, the best way is at kboo.fm/healthwatch.
There you go. So you can listen to the audio for this show. It'll be posted momentarily. So there are all kinds of ways to catch this interview or send a link to it to a friend that you think might be interested. But what we're really talking about now is becoming a member yourself, putting a financial number, a number, on what KABU means to you, what this kind of information brings to you. David, how long have you been doing Health Watch?
I was just wondering, probably around 17 years?
17, that's a long time.
Maybe 15 time. Years.
And how much money do you make doing Health Watch?
Not very much money, but speaking of money.
Not one red cent, because you are a volunteer, as are all the voices you hear
right.
on KABU. But speaking of money, you were saying?
I was just thinking about how now that modern medicine is more and more being influenced and intersecting with capitalism in America, and our office visits are getting shorter, so mm-hmm. we have less time to ask questions to our doctors. And the pressures of corporate big pharma on some of those decisions on the doctors and what you see on TV and what you think you want as your solution to your medical problems. It's books like these and shows like Health Watch that sort of fill this gap that at least preserves that skeptical space where you can ask questions, push back, come armed with information when you go see your primary care physician, and sort of puzzle out what is the best solution for you, not just in that 10-minute visit. So if that's something of value to you, you might be interested in getting Mind Over Meds, might be interested in supporting Health Watch and other similar shows on KABU.
I should just mention, too, that the phones are ringing off the hook here, and I assume that some of those copies of the book are already gone. So if you want one, pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. In addition to becoming a member at the $60 level, we have a $180 goal for this half hour for Health Watch. I know we can make that goal. We've probably already come at least halfway, but we need your help to make it the rest of the way. Pick up that phone right now, 877-500-5266. 800-500-5266. And Will, isn't there another thank you gift that we're giving away today? That's just for
today? I believe there is. Oh, yeah, the wonderful soaking tub thing.
That's right. More great medicine.
I've got a dodgy back. I hurt my back a while ago in a fall. And going to those warm jets and soaking it's probably the most therapeutic thing I've discovered for it. It's better than ibuprofen. It's better than hydrocodone. It's better than OxyContin. It's absolutely terrific.
And it makes you feel really good. What Will is talking about is today only we are putting everybody's name who becomes a member or renews their membership into a drawing to win 12 passes for an hour-long soak and sauna session at Common Ground Wellness Co-op in Portland. We'll be offering a new prize for every day of the drive. This is the one opportunity that you have to become a member on HealthWatch, get your name entered into the drawing, and if you become a member at a minimum $60 level, you can also pick up a copy of Dr. Weil's book, Mind Over Meds.
And $60? That's what, $5 a month?
$5 a
month.
That's
affordable.
It's very affordable.
Cheaper than cigarettes.
877-500-5266. Cheaper than cigarettes, better for you, better with you. Just remember that supporting KBOO is bringing strong medicine of information and critical thinking to your community. And so it's not just something that you do for yourself, it's something that you do for everybody listening. Now's the time. We can't mention it too many times. And just before we go, I want to say a quick thank you to Brittany from Salem.
Thank you, Brittany.
Who became a member online. And also Tasha from Happy Valley, who says, thanks for bringing us Democracy Now!, Health Watch, Between the Covers, and other great shows, and for being such a key space in the community.
Thank you, Tasha.
Way to go, Tasha. It's good to hear from Happy Valley. I think that's our first call from them today.
I love that name, Happy Valley.
Happy Valley.
Sort of so
Stepford Wivesian. Yeah. Salty. Anyway, we got to get going. But thanks so much for all of you who called. Thanks to all of you who are going to call. And do it now.
Welcome to On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, your show for voices of resistance and alternative news from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Avera. Well, now it's time for The F Word, our monthly segment that explores fascism, which we define as 1960s revolutionary George Jackson defined it, the complete control of the state by monopoly capital, when the relationship between the state or the government and